through every lesson Rhys had taught me about the Winter Court and its High Lord Kalias. Towering, exquisite palaces, full of roaring hearths and bedecked in evergreens. Carved sleighs were the court's preferred method of transportation, hauled by velvet-antlered reindeer, whose splayed hooves were ideal for the ice and snow. Their forces were well-trained, but they often relied on the great white bears that stalked the realm for any unwanted visitors. I prayed none of them waited on the ice, their coats perfectly blended into the terrain. The Night Court's relationship with Winter was fine enough, still tenuous, as all our bonds were after Amarantha, after she'd butchered so many of them, including, I remembered with no small surge of nausea, dozens of Winter Court children. I couldn't imagine it. The loss, the rage, and grief. I'd never had the nerve to ask Rhys in those months of training who the children had belonged to, what the consequences had been. If it was considered the worst of Amarantha's crimes, or just one of countless others. But despite any tentative bonds, Winter was one of the seasonal courts. It might side with Tamlin, with Tarquin. Our best allies remained the solar courts, Dawn and Day. But they lay far to the north, above the demarcation line between the solar and seasonal courts. That slice of sacred unclaimed land that held under the mountain. And the Weaver's Cottage. We'd be gone before we ever had to set foot in that lethal ancient forest. It was another day and night before we cleared the mountains entirely and set foot on the thick ice. Nothing grew, and I could only tell when we were on solid land by the dense snow packed beneath. Otherwise, too frequently, the ice was clear as glass, revealing dark, depthless lakes beneath. At least we didn't encounter any of the white bears. But the real threat, we both quickly realized, was the utter lack of shelter. Out on the ice, there was none to be found against the wind and cold, and if we lit a fire with our feeble magic, anyone nearby would spot it. No matter the practicality of lighting a fire atop a frozen lake. The sun was just slipping above the horizon, staining the plain with gold, the shadows still a bruised blue, when Lucian said, "Tonight we'll melt some of the ice pack enough to soften it, and build a shelter." I considered. We were barely 100 feet onto what seemed to be an endless lake. It was impossible to tell where it ended. "You think we'll be out on the ice for that long?" Lucian frowned toward the dawn-stained horizon. "Likely. But who knows how far it extends?" Indeed, the snow drifts hid much of the ice beneath. "Perhaps there's some other way around," I mused, glancing back toward our abandoned little camp. We looked at the same time, and both beheld the three figures now standing at the lake edge, smiling. Eris lifted a hand wreathed in flame. Flame. To melt the ice on which we stood. Chapter 13. "Run," Lucian breathed. I didn't dare take my eyes off his brothers. Not as Eris lowered that hand to the frozen edge of the lake. "Run where, exactly?" Flesh met ice and steam rippled. The ice went opaque, thawing in a line that shot for us. We ran. The slick ice made for a treacherous sprint, my ankles roaring with the effort of keeping me upright. Ahead, the lake stretched on forever, and with the sun barely awake, the dangers would be even harder to spot. "Faster," Lucian ordered. "Don't look," he barked as I began to turn my head to see if they'd followed. He lashed out a hand to grip my elbow, steadying me, before I could even register that I'd stumbled. Where would we go? Where would we go? Where would we go? Water splashed beneath my boots. Thawed ice. Eris had to either be expending all his power to get through millennia of ice, or was just doing it slowly to torture us. Zag, Lucian panted. We need to... He shoved me aside and I staggered, arms wheeling, just as an arrow ricocheted off the ice where I'd been standing. Faster, Lucian snapped, and I didn't hesitate. I hurtled into a flat-out sprint, Lucian and I weaving in and out of each other's paths as those arrows continued firing. Ice sprayed where they landed, and no matter how fast we ran, the ground beneath us melted and melted. Ice. I had ice in my veins, and now that we were over the border of the Winter Court... I didn't care if they saw it. My power. Calais's power. Not when the alternatives were far worse. I threw out a hand before us as a melting splotch began to spread, ice groaning. A spray of ice shot from my palm, freezing the lake once more. With each pump of my arms as I ran, I fired that ice from my palms, solidifying what Eris sought to melt ahead of us. Maybe, just maybe, we could clear the lake. And if they were stupid enough to be atop it when we did, if I could form ice... I could certainly unform it. I crossed paths with Lucian again, meeting his wide eyes as we did, and opened my mouth to tell him my plan when Eris appeared. Not behind, ahead. But it was the other brother at his side, arrow aimed and already flying for me, who drew the shout from my throat. I lunged to the side, rolling. Not fast enough. The arrow's edge sliced the shell of my ear, my cheek, leaving a stinging wake. Lucian shouted, but another arrow was flying. It went clean through my right forearm this time. Ice sliced into my face, my hands as I went down, knees barking, arm shrieking in agony at the impact. Behind, steps thudded on ice as the third brother closed in. I bit my lip hard enough to draw blood. As I ripped away the cloth of my jacket and shirt from my forearm, snapped the arrow in two, and tore the pieces from my flesh. My roar shattered and bounced across the ice. Eris had taken one step toward me, smiling like a wolf, when I was up again. My last two Illyrian knives in my palms, my right arm screaming at the movement. Around me, the ice began to melt.
This can end with you going under, begging me to get you out once that ice instantly refreezes,
Eris drawled. Behind him, cut off by his brothers, Lucian had drawn out his own knife and now sized up the other two.
Or, this can end with you agreeing to take my hand. But either way, you will be coming with me.
Already the flesh in my arm was knitting together, healing. From Dawn's powers reawakening in my veins. And if that was working... I didn't give Eris time to read my move. I sucked in a sharp breath. White, blinding light erupted from me. Eris swore, and I ran. Not toward him. Not when I was still too injured to wield my knives. But away, toward that distant shore... Half-blinded myself, I stumbled and staggered until I was clear of the treacherous melting splotches, then sprinted. I made it all of 20 feet before Eris winnowed in front of me and struck. A backhanded blow to the face. So hard, my teeth went through my lip. He struck again before I could even fall, a punch to my gut that ripped the air from my lungs. Beyond me... Lucian had unleashed himself upon his two brothers. Metal and fire blasted and collided, ice spraying. I'd no sooner hit the ice than Eris grabbed me by the hair, right at the roots. The grip so brutal, tears stung my eyes. But he dragged me back toward that shore, back across the ice. I fought against the blow to my gut. Fought to get a wisp of air down my throat, into my lungs. My boots
scraped against the ice as I feebly kicked. Yet Eris held firm. I think Lucian shouted my name. I opened my mouth, but a gag of fire shoved its way between my lips. It didn't burn, but was hot enough to tell me it would if Eris willed it. Equal bands of flame wrapped around my wrists, my ankles, my throat. I couldn't remember. Couldn't remember what to do, how to move, how to stop this. Closer and closer to the shore, to the awaiting party of sentries that winnowed in out of nowhere. No, no, no. A shadow slammed into the earth before us, cracking the ice toward every horizon. Not a shadow. An Illyrian warrior. 7 red siphons glinted over his scaled black armor as Cassian tucked in his wings and snarled at Eris with 5 centuries worth of rage. Not dead. Not hurt. Whole. His wings repaired and strong. I loosed a shuddering sob over the burning gag. Cassian's siphons flickered in response, as if the sight of me at Eris's hand. Another impact struck the ice behind us. Shadows skittered in its wake. Azriel. I began crying in earnest, some leash I'd kept on myself snapping free as my friends landed, as I saw that Azriel too was alive, was healed. As Cassian drew 2 Illyrian blades, the sight of them like home, and said to Eris with lethal calm, I suggest you drop my lady. Eris's grip on my hair only tightened, wringing a whimper from me. The wrath that twisted Cassian's face was world-ending. But his hazel eyes slid to mine, a silent command. He had spent months training me. Not just to attack, but to defend. Had taught me over and over how to get free of a captor's grasp. How to manage not only my body, but my mind. As if he'd known that it was a very real possibility that this scenario would one day happen. Eris had bound my limbs, but I could still move them. Still use parts of my magic. And getting him off balance long enough to let go? To let Cassian jump between us and take on the High Lord's son? Towering over me, Eris didn't so much as glance down as I twisted, spinning on the ice, and slammed my bound legs up between his. He lurched, bending over with a grunt. Right into the fisted, bound hands I drove into his nose. Bone crunched, and his hand sprang free of my hair. I rolled, scrambling away. Cassian was already there. Eris hardly had time to draw his sword as Cassian brought his own down upon him. Steel against steel rang out across the ice. Sentries on the shore unleashed arrows of wood and magic, only to bounce against a shield of blue. Azriel. Across the ice, he and Lucian were engaging the other 2 brothers. That any of Lucian's siblings held out against the Illyrians was a testament to their own training, but I focused the ice in my veins on the gag in my mouth, the binds around my wrists and ankles. Ice to smother fire, to sing it to sleep. Cassian and Eris clashed, danced back, clashed again. Ropes of fire snapped free, dissolving with a hiss of steam. I was on my feet again, reaching for a weapon I did not have. My daggers had been lost 40 feet away. Cassian got past Eris's guard with brutal efficiency, and Eris screamed as the Illyrian blade punched through his gut. Blood, red as rubies, stained the ice and snow. For a heartbeat, I saw how it would play out. 3 of Baron's sons, dead, at our hands. A temporary satisfaction for me. 5 centuries of satisfaction for Cassian, Azriel, and more. But if Baron still debated what side to support in this war, I had other weapons to use.
Stop,
I said. The word was a soft, cold command, and Asriel and Cassian obeyed. Lucian's other two brothers were back to back, bloody and gaping. Lucian himself was panting, sword still raised, as Asriel flicked the blood off his own blade and stalked toward me. I met the hazel eyes of the Shadow Singer, the cool face that hid such pain and kindness. He had come. Cassian had come. The Illyrians fell into place beside me. Eris, a hand pressed to his gut, was breathing wetly, glaring at us. Glaring, then considering. Watching the three of us as I said to Eris, to his other two brothers, to the sentries on the shore, "You all deserve to die for this, and for much, much more. But I am going to spare your miserable lives." Even with a wound through his gut, Eris's lip curled. Cassian snarled his warning. I only removed the glamour I'd kept on myself these weeks. With the sleeve of my jacket and shirt gone, there was nothing but smooth skin where that wound had been. Smooth skin that now became adorned with swirls and whorls of ink. The markings of my new title and my mating bond. Lucian's face drained of color as he strode for us, stopping a healthy distance from Asriel's side. "I am High Lady of the Night Court," I said quietly to them all. Even Eris stopped sneering. His amber eyes widened, something like fear now creeping into them. "There is no such thing as a High Lady," one of Lucian's brothers spat. A faint smile played on my mouth. "There is now. And it was time for the world to know it." I caught Cassian's gaze, finding pride glimmering there, and relief. "Take me home," I ordered him, my chin high and unwavering. Then to Asriel, "Take us both home." I said to the Autumn Court scions, "We'll see you on the battlefield." Let them decide whether it was better to be fighting beside us or against us. I turned to Cassian, who opened his arms and tucked me in tight before launching us skyward in a blast of wings and power. Beside us, Asriel and Lucian did the same. When Eris and the others were nothing but specks of black on white below, when we were sailing high and fast, Cassian observed,
"I don't know who looks more uncomfortable, Az or Lucian Vansera."
I chuckled, glancing over my shoulder to where the Shadow Singer carried my friend, both of them making a point not to speak, look, or talk. "Vansera?"
"You never knew his family name?"
I met those laughing, fierce hazel eyes. Cassian's smile softened.
"Hello, Feyre."
My throat tightened to the point of pain, and I threw my arms around his neck, embracing him tightly.
"I missed you too,"
Cassian murmured, squeezing me. We flew until we reached the border of the sacred Eighth Territory. And when Cassian set us down in a snowy field before the ancient wood, I took one look at the blonde female in Illyrian leathers pacing between the gnarled trees and launched into a sprint. Mor held me as tightly as I gripped her. "Where is he?" I asked, refusing to let go, to lift my head from her shoulder.
It's a long story. Far away, but racing home, right now."
Mor pulled back enough to scan my face. Her mouth tightened at the lingering injuries, and she gently scraped away flecks of dry blood caked on my ear.
"He picked up on you, the bond,
Minutes ago, the three of us were closest. I winnowed in Cassian, but with Eris and the others there...
Guilt dimmed her eyes.
Relations with the Winter Court are strained. We thought if I was out here on the border, it might keep Kalias' forces from looking south. At least long enough to get you.
And to avoid an interaction with Eris that Moore was perhaps not ready for. I shook my head at the shame still shadowing her usually bright features.
I understand.
I embraced her again. I understand. Moore's answering squeeze was rib-crushing. Asriel and Lucian landed, plumes of snow spraying in the former's wake. Moore and I released each other at last, my friend's face going grave as she sized up Lucian. Snow and blood and dirt coated him. Coated us both.
Cassian explained to Moore.
He fought against Eris and the other two.
Moore's throat bobbed, noting the blood staining Cassian's hands, realizing it wasn't his own. Scenting it, no doubt, as she blurted.
Eris, did you?
He remains alive, Asriel answered. Shadows curling around the clawed tips of his wings, so stark against the snow beneath our boots.
So do the others.
Lucian was glancing between all of them, wary and quiet. What he knew of Moore's history with his eldest brother, I'd never asked. Never wanted to. Moore tossed her mass of golden waves over a shoulder.
Then let's go home.
Which one? I asked carefully. Moore swept her attention over Lucian once more. I almost pitied Lucian for the weight in her gaze, the utter judgment, the stare of the Morrigan, whose gift was pure truth. Whatever she beheld in Lucian was enough for her to say,
"The townhouse. You have someone waiting there for you."
Chapter 14. I had not let myself imagine it. The moment I'd again stand in the wood-paneled foyer of the townhouse, when I'd hear the song of the gulls soaring high above Valaris, smell the brine of the Sidra River that winded through the heart of the city, feel the warmth of the sunshine streaming through the windows upon my back. Moore had winnowed us all, and now stood behind me, panting softly, as we watched Lucian survey our surroundings. His metal eye whirred, while the other warily scanned the rooms flanking the foyer, the dining room and sitting room overlooking the little front yard and street, then the stairs to the second level, then the hallway beside it that led to the kitchen and courtyard garden, then finally to the shut front door, to the city waiting beyond. Cassian took up a place beside the banister, crossing his arms with an arrogance I knew meant trouble. Asriel remained beside me, shadows wreathing his knuckles, as if battling High Lords' sons was how they usually spent their days. I wondered if Lucian knew that his first words here would either damn or save him. I wondered what my role in it would be. No, it was my call. High Lady. I outranked them, my friends. It was my call to make whether Lucian was allowed to keep his freedom. But their watchful silence was indication enough. Let him decide his own fate. At last, Lucian looked at me. At us. He said, "There are children laughing in the streets." I blinked. He said it with such quiet surprise, as if he hadn't heard the sound in a long, long time. I opened my mouth to reply, but someone else spoke for me. That they do so at all after Highburn's attack is testament to how hard the people of Valaris have worked to rebuild. I whirled, finding Amryn emerging from wherever she'd been sitting in the other room, the plush furniture hiding her small body. She appeared exactly as she had the last time I'd seen her, standing in this very foyer, warning us to be careful in Highburn. Her chin-length, jet-black hair gleamed in the sunlight. Her silver, unearthly eyes, unusually bright as they met mine. The delicate female bowed her head. As much of a gesture of obedience as a 15,000-year-old creature would make to a newly minted high lady. And friend. "I see you brought home a new pet," she said, nose crinkling with distaste. Something like fear had entered Lucian's eye, as if he too beheld the monster that lurked beneath that beautiful face. Indeed, it seemed he had heard of her already. Before I could introduce him, Lucian bowed at the waist, deeply. Cassian let out an amused grunt, and I shot him a warning glare. Amryn smiled slightly. "Already trained, I see." Lucian slowly straightened, as if he were standing before the open maw of some great plains cat he did not wish to startle with sudden movements.
"Amryn, this is Lucian. Vansera."
Lucian stiffened. "I don't use my family's name," he clarified to Amryn with another incline of his head. "Lucian will do." I suspected he'd ceased using that name the moment his lover's heart had stopped beating. Amryn was studying that metal eye. "Clever work," she said, then surveyed me. "Looks like someone clawed you up, girl." The wound in my arm, at least, had healed, though a nasty red mark remained. I assumed my face wasn't much better. Before I could answer her, Lucian asked, "What is this place?" We all looked at him. "Home," I said. "This is my home." I could see the details now sinking in. The lack of darkness. The lack of screaming. The scent of the sea and citrus, not blood and decay. The laughter of children that indeed continued. The greatest secret in Prithian's history. "This is Valaris," I explained. "The city of starlight." His throat bobbed.
"And you are High Lady of the Night Court."
"Indeed she is."
My blood stopped at the voice that drawled from behind me, at the scent that hit me, awoke me. My friends began smiling. I turned. Rhysand leaned against the archway into the sitting room, arms crossed, wings nowhere to be seen. Dressed in his usual immaculate black jacket and pants. And as those violet eyes met mine, as that familiar half-smile faded, my face crumpled. A small, broken noise cracked from me. Rhys was instantly moving, but my legs had already given out. The foyer carpet cushioned the impact as I sank to my knees. I covered my face with my hands while the past month crashed into me. Rhys knelt before me, knee to knee. Gently, he pulled my hands away from my face. Gently, he took my cheeks in his hands and brushed away my tears. I didn't care that we had an audience, as I lifted my head and beheld the joy and concern and love shining in those remarkable eyes. Neither did Rhys as he murmured, "My love," and kissed me. I'd no sooner slid my hands into his hair than he scooped me into his arms and stood in one smooth movement. I pulled my mouth from his, glancing toward a pallid Lucian, but Rhysan said to our companions, without so much as looking at them, "Go find somewhere else to be for a while." He didn't wait to see if they obeyed. Rhys winnowed us up the stairs and launched into a steady, swift walk down the hallway. I peered down at the foyer in time to spy Moore grabbing Lucian's arm and nodding to the others before they all vanished.
"Do you
"Want to go over what happened at the Spring Court?" I asked, voice raw as I studied my mate's face. No amusement, nothing but that predatory intensity focused on my every breath. "There are other things I'd rather do first." He carried me into our bedroom. Once his room, now full of our belongings. It was exactly as I'd last seen it. The enormous bed that he now strode for. The two armoires. The desk by the window that overlooked the courtyard garden, now bursting with purple and pink and blue amid the lush greens. I braced myself to be sprawled on the bed. But Reese paused halfway across the room. The door snicking shut on a star-kissed wind. Slowly, he set me on the plush carpet, blatantly sliding me down his body as he did so, as if he was as powerless to resist touching me, as reluctant to let go, as I was with him. And every place where our bodies met, all of him so warm and solid and real, I savored it, my throat tight as I placed a hand on his sculpted chest, the thunderous heartbeat beneath his black jacket echoing into my palm. The only sign of whatever torrent coursed through him as he skimmed his hands up my arms in a lingering caress and gripped my shoulders. His thumbs stroked a gentle rhythm over my filthy clothes as he scanned my face. Beautiful. He was even more beautiful than I had remembered, dreamed of during those weeks at the Spring Court. For a long moment, we only breathed in each other's air. For a long moment, all I could do was take the scent of him deep into my lungs, letting it settle inside me. My fingers tightened on his jacket. Mate. My mate. As if he'd heard it down the bond, Reese finally murmured, "When the bond went dark, I thought." Fear. Genuine terror shadowed his eyes, even as his thumbs continued stroking my shoulders, gentle and steady. "By the time I got to the Spring Court, you'd vanished. Tamlin was raging through that forest hunting for you, but you hid your scent. And even I couldn't find you." The snag in his words was a knife to my gut. "We went to the Autumn Court through one of the doors," I said, setting my other hand on his arm. The corded muscles beneath shifted at my touch. "You couldn't find me because two Highburn commanders drugged my food and drink with Feybane. Enough to extinguish my powers. I still don't have full use." Cold rage now flickered across that beautiful face as his thumbs halted at my shoulders. "You killed them." Not entirely a question, but I nodded. "Good." I swallowed. "Has Highburn sacked the Spring Court?" "Not yet. Whatever you did, it worked. Tamlin's sentries abandoned him. Over half his people refused to appear for the tithe 2 days ago. Some are leaving for other courts. Some are murmuring of rebellion. It seems you made yourself quite beloved. Holy, even." Amusement at last warmed his features. "They were rather upset when they believed he'd allowed Highburn to terrorize you into fleeing." I traced the faint silver whorl of embroidery on the breast of his jacket, and I could have sworn he shuddered beneath the touch. "I suppose they'll learn soon enough I'm well cared for." Reese's hands tightened on my shoulders in agreement, as if he were about to show me just how well cared for I was, but I angled my head. "What about Ianthe? And Jurian?" Rhysand's powerful chest heaved beneath my hand as he blew out a breath. "Reports are murky on both. Jurian, it seems, has returned to the hand that feeds him. Ianthe..." Rhys lifted his brows. I assume her hand is courtesy of you and not the commander's.
She fell, I said sweetly.
Must have been some fall, he mused, a dark smile dancing on those lips as he drifted even closer, the heat of his body seeping into me while his hands migrated from my shoulders to brush lazy lines down my back. I bit my lip, focusing on his words and not the urge to arch into the touch, to bury my face in his chest, and to do some exploring of my own. She's currently convalescing after her ordeal, apparently. Won't leave her temple. It was my turn to murmur. Good. Perhaps one of those pretty acolytes of hers would get sick of her sanctimonious bullshit and smother Ianthe in her sleep. I braced my hands on his hips, fully ready to slide beneath his jacket, needing to touch bare skin, but re-straightened pulling back, still close enough that one of his hands remained on my waist, but the other. He reached for my arm, gently examining the angry welt where my skin had been torn by an arrow. Darkness rumbled in the corner of the room. Cassian let me into his mind just now, to show me what happened on the ice. He stroked a thumb over the hurt. The touch, feather light. Eris was always a male of limited days. Now Lucian might find himself closer to inheriting his father's throne than he ever expected to be. My spine locked. Eris is precisely as horrible as you painted him to be. Rhys's thumb glided over my forearm again, leaving goose flesh in its wake. A promise. Not of the retribution he was contemplating, but of what awaited us in his room. The bed a few feet away. Until he murmured, "You declared yourself High Lady." Was I not supposed to? He released my arm to brush his knuckles across my cheek. "I've wanted to roar it from the rooftops of Valaris from the moment the priestess anointed you. How typical of you to upend my grand plans." A smile tugged on my lips. "It happened less than an hour ago. I'm sure you could go crow from the chimney right now, and everyone would give you credit for breaking the news." His fingers threaded through my hair, tilting my face up. That wicked smile grew, and my toes curled in their boots. "There's my darling Farah." His head dipped, his gaze fixated on my mouth, hunger lighting those violet eyes. "Where are my sisters?" The thought clanged through me, jarring as a pealing bell. Rhys paused, hand slipping from my hair as his smile faded. "At the House of Wind." He straightened, swallowing, as if it somehow checked him. "I can take you to them." Every word seemed to be an effort. But he would, I realized. He'd shove down his need for me and take me to them, if that was what I wanted. My choice. It had always been my choice with him. I shook my head. I wouldn't see them, not yet. Not until I was steady enough to face them. "They're well, though?" His hesitation told me enough. "They're safe." Not really an answer, but I wasn't going to fool myself into thinking my sisters would be thriving. I leaned my brow against his chest. "Cassian and Azriel are healed," I murmured against his jacket, breathing in the scent of him over and over as a tremor shuddered through me. "You told me that, and yet it didn't sink in. Until now." Rhys ran a hand down my back, the other sliding to grip my hip. "Azriel healed within a few days. Cassian's wings. It was complex. But he's been training every day to regain his strength. The healer had to rebuild most of his wings. But he'll be fine."
I swallowed down the tightness in my throat and wrapped my arms around his waist, pressing my face wholly against his chest. His hand tightened on my hip in answer, the other resting at my nape, holding me to him as I breathed. "Moore said you were far away. That was why you weren't there."
"I'm sorry I wasn't."
"No," I said, lifting my head to scan his eyes, the guilt dampening them. "I didn't mean it like that, I savored the feel of him beneath my palms. "Where were you?" Reese stilled, and I braced myself as he said casually,
"I couldn't very well let you do all the work to undermine our enemies, could I?"
I didn't smile. "Where were you?"
With Az only recently back on his feet, I took it upon myself to do some of his work.
I clenched my jaw.
"Such as?"
He leaned down, nuzzling my throat.
"Don't you want to comfort your mate, who has missed you terribly these weeks?"
I planted a hand on my face and pushed him back, scowling.
"I want my mate to tell me where the hell he was. Then he can get his comfort."
Reese nipped at my fingers, teeth snapping playfully.
"Cruel, beautiful female."
I watched him beneath lowered brows. Reese rolled his eyes, sighing.
"I was on the continent, at the Human Queen's palace. I choked."
"You were where?"
"Technically, I was flying above it, but..."
"You went alone?"
He gaped at me.
"Despite what our mistakes in Highburn might have suggested, I am capable of..."
"You went to the human world? To our enemy's compound alone?"
"I'd rather it be me than any of the others."
That had been his problem from the start. Always him, always sacrificing.
"Why?"
I demanded.
"Why risk it? Is something happening?"
Reese peered toward the window, as if he could see all the way to the mortal lands. His mouth tightened.
"It's the quiet on their side of the sea that bothers me. No whisper of armies gathered. No other human allies summoned. Since Highburn, we've heard nothing. So I thought to see for myself why that is."
He flicked my nose, tugging me closer again.
"I'd just neared the edge of their territory when I felt the bond awaken again. I knew the others were closer, so I sent them."
"You don't need to explain." Reese rested his chin atop my head.
"I wanted to be there. To get you. Find you. Bring you home."
"You do certainly enjoy a dramatic entrance." He chuckled, his breath warming my hair as I listened to the sound rumble through his body. Of course he would have been working against Highburn while I was away. Had I expected them all to be sitting on their asses for over a month?
And Reese, constantly plodding, always a step ahead, he would have used this time to his advantage.
I debated asking about it, but right now, breathing him in, feeling his warmth, let it wait. Reese pressed a kiss to my hair.
"You're home."
A shuddering small sound came out of me as I nodded, squeezing him tighter.
Home.
Not just Valaris, but wherever he was, our family was. Ebony claws stroked along the barrier in my mind. In affection and request. I lowered my shields for him, just as his own dropped. His mind curled around mine, as surely as his body now held me.
"I miss you every moment,"
Reese said, leaning down to kiss the corner of my mouth.
"Your smile."
His lips grazed over the shell of my ear and my back arched slightly.
"Your laugh."
He pressed a kiss to my neck, right beneath my ear, and I tilted my head to give him access, biting down the urge to beg him to take more, to take faster as he murmured,
"Your scent." My eyes fluttered closed, and his hands coasted around my hips to cup my rear, squeezing as he bent to kiss the center of my throat. The sounds you make when I'm inside you. His tongue flicked over the spot where he'd kissed, and one of those sounds indeed escaped me. Reese kissed the hollow of my collarbone, and my core went utterly molten. My brave, bold, brilliant mate. He lifted his head, and it was an effort to open my eyes, to meet his stare as his hands roved in lazy lines down my back, over my rear, then up again. "I love you," he said. And if I hadn't already believed him, felt it in my very bones, the light in his face as he said the words. Tears burned my eyes again, slipping free before I could control myself. Reese leaned in to lick them away, one after another, as he'd once done under the mountain. "You have a choice," he murmured against my cheekbone. "Either I lick every inch of you clean." His hand grazed the tip of my breast, circling lazily, as if we had days and days to do this. "Or you can get into the bath that should be ready by now." I pulled away, lifting a brow. "Are you suggesting that I smell?" Reese smirked, and I could have sworn my core pounded in answer. "Never." "But..." His eyes darkened, the desire and amusement fading as he took in my clothes. "There's blood on you. Yours and others. I thought I'd be a good mate and offer you a bath before I ravish you wholly." I huffed a laugh and brushed back his hair, savoring the silken sable strands between my fingers. "So consider it. Though I can't believe you kicked everyone out of the house so you could take me to bed." "One of the many benefits to being High Lord." "What a terrible abuse of power." That half-smile danced on his mouth. "Well?" "As much as I'd like to see you attempt to lick off a week's worth of dirt, sweat, and blood..." His eyes gleamed with the challenge, and I laughed again. "Normal bath, please." He had the nerve to look vaguely disappointed. I poked him in the chest as I pushed away, aiming for the large bathing room attached to the bedroom. The massive porcelain tub was already filled with steaming water and... "Bubbles? Do you have a moral objection to them?" I grinned, unbuttoning my jacket. My fingers were near black with dirt and caked blood. I cringed. "I might need more than one bath to get clean." He snapped his fingers, and my skin was instantly pristine again. I blinked. "If you can do that, then what's the point of a bath?" He'd done it under the mountain for me a few times, that magical cleaning. I'd somehow never asked. He leaned against the doorway, watching me peel off my torn and stained jacket, as if it were the most important task he'd ever been given. "The essence of the dirt remains." His voice roughened as he tracked each movement of my fingers while I unlaced my boots. "Like a layer of oil." Indeed, my skin, while it looked clean, felt unwashed. I kicked off the boots, letting them land on my filthy jacket. "So, it's more for aesthetic purposes." "You're taking too long," he said, jerking his chin toward the bath. My breasts tightened at the slight growl lacing his words. He watched that, too. And I smiled to myself, arching my back a bit more than necessary, as I removed my shirt and tossed it to the marble floor. Sunlight streamed in through the steam rising from the tub, casting the space between us in gold and white. Reese made a low noise that sounded vaguely like a whimper as he took in my bare torso. As he took in my breasts, now heavy and aching, badly enough that I had to swallow my plea to forget this bath entirely. But I pretended not to notice, as I unbuttoned my pants and let them fall to the floor, along with my undergarments. Reese's eyes simmered. I smirked, daring a look at his own pants, at the evidence of what exactly this was doing to him, pressing against the black material with impressive demand. I simply crooned, "Too bad there isn't room in the tub for two." "A design flaw, and one I shall remedy tomorrow." His voice was rough, quiet, and it slid invisible hands down my breasts, between my legs. Mother save me. I somehow managed to walk, to climb into the tub, somehow managed to remember how to bathe myself. Reese remained leaning against the doorway the entire time, silently watching with that unrelenting focus. I might have taken longer washing certain areas, and might have made sure he saw it. He only gripped the threshold hard enough that the wood groaned beneath his hand. But Reese made no move to pounce, even when I toweled off and brushed out my tangled hair, as if the restraint, it was part of the game too. My bare toes curled on the marble floor as I set down my brush on the sink vanity, every inch of my body aware of where he stood in the doorway, aware of his eyes upon me in the mirror's reflection. "All clean," I declared, my voice hoarse as I met his stare in the mirror. I could have sworn only darkness and stars swirled beyond his shoulders. A blink and they were gone, but the predatory hunger on his face. I turned, my fingers trembling slightly as I clutched my towel around me. Reese only extended a hand, his own fingers shaking. Even the towel was abrasive against my too sensitive skin as I laid my hand on his calluses scraping as they closed over my fingers. I wanted them scraping all over me. But he simply led me into the bedroom, step after step, the muscles of his broad back shifting beneath his jacket, and lower, the sleek, powerful cut of thighs, his ass. I was going to devour him, from head to toe. I was going to devour him. But Reese paused before the bed, releasing my hand and facing me from the safety of a step away. And it was the expression on his face, as he traced a still tender spot on my cheekbone, that checked the heat threatening to raise my senses. I swallowed, my hair dripping on the carpet. "Is the bruise bad?" "It's nearly gone." Darkness flickered in the room once more. I scanned that perfect face, every line and angle, the fear and rage and love, the wisdom and cunning and strength. I let my towel drop to the carpet. Let him look me over as I put a hand on his chest, his heart raging beneath my palm. "Ready for ravishing?" My words didn't come out with the swagger I'd intended. Not when Reese's answering smile was a dark, cruel thing. "I hardly know where to begin. So many possibilities." He lifted a finger, and my breath came hard and fast as he idly circled one of my breasts, then the other, in ever-tightening rings. "I could start here," he murmured. I clenched my thighs together. He noted the movement, that dark smile growing, and just before his finger reached the tip of my breast, just before he gave me what I was about to beg for, his finger slid upward, to my chest, my neck, my chin, right to my mouth. He traced the shape of my lips, a whisper of touch. "Or I could start here," he breathed, slipping the tip of his finger into my mouth. I couldn't help myself from closing my lips around him, from flicking my tongue against the pad of his finger. But Reese withdrew his finger with a soft groan, making a downward path, along my neck, chest, straight over a nipple. He paused there, flicking it once, then smoothed his thumb over the small hurt. I was shaking now, barely able to keep standing as his finger continued past my breast. He drew patterns on my stomach, scanning my face as he purred, "Or..." I couldn't think beyond that single finger, that one point of contact as it drifted lower and lower to where I wanted him. "Or..." I managed to breathe. His head dipped, hair sliding over his brow as he watched. We both watched. His broad finger ventured down. "Or..." "I could start... here," he said, the words guttural and raw. I didn't care, not as he dragged that finger down the center of me, not as he circled that spot, light and taunting. "Here would be nice," he observed, his breathing uneven. "Or maybe even here," he finished, and plunged that finger inside me. I groaned, gripping his arm, nails digging into the muscles beneath, muscles that shifted as he pumped his finger once, twice, then slid it out and drawled, brows rising. "Well, where shall I begin, Feyre, darling?" I could barely form words, thoughts, but I'd had enough of playing, so I took that infernal hand of his, guiding it to my heart, and placed it there, half over the curve of my breast. I met his hooded gaze as I spoke the words that I knew would be his undoing in this little game, the words that were rising up in me with every breath. "You're mine." It snapped the tether he'd kept on himself. His clothes vanished, all of them, and his mouth angled over my own. It wasn't a gentle kiss, wasn't soft or searching. It was claiming, wild and unchecked. It was unleashing, and the taste of him, the heat of him, the demanding stroke of his tongue against my own. Home. I was home. My hands shot into his hair, pulling him closer as I answered each of his searing kisses with my own, unable to get enough, unable to touch and feel enough of him. Skin to skin, Reese nudged me toward the bed, his hands kneading my rear as I ran my own over the velvet softness of him, over every hard plane and ripple. His beautiful, mighty wings tore from his back, splaying wide before neatly tucking in. My thighs hit the bed behind us, and Reese paused, trembling, giving me time to reconsider, even now. My heart strained, but I pulled my mouth from his, held his gaze, as I lowered myself onto the white sheets and inched back. Further and further onto the bed, until I was bare before him, until I took in the considerable, proud length of him, and my core tightened in answer. "Reese," I breathed, his name a plea on my tongue. His wings flared, chest heaving as stars sparked in his eyes, and it was the longing there, beneath the desire, beneath the need. It was the longing in those beautiful eyes that made me glance to the mountains tattooed on his knees. The insignia of this court. Our court. The promise that he would kneel for no one and nothing but his crown. And me. Mine. He was mine. I sent the thought down the bond. No playing, no delaying. I wanted him on me, in me,
I needed to feel him, hold him, share breath with him. He heard the edge of desperation